Welcome to Connected, brought to you by He's Alive. For the next half hour, join Tim and Sharon Colasino and friends as together we consider how to motivate one another to love and to do good works. Get ready to be inspired and equipped at Connected.
I am so excited to have with me today my spiritual father, Dr. John Polis from Revival Fellowship International. And sir, welcome to today's broadcast, and it's good to see you again.
Good to see you, Tim, and glad to have the opportunity to speak to the listeners on He's Alive today.
And we're going to be talking about a familiar subject, from believer to disciple. Mm-hmm. What is a believer? What is a disciple? And then after that, there becomes a son and a daughter, correct?
That's true. Right, and there's a process. You know, Jesus didn't just call us to be believers. He called us to become disciples. If we weren't to become disciples, then we'd just be believers and go straight to heaven.
That's right.
But we got saved to live here on earth, and that's why we need to become disciples, because we have a job to do.
That's right.
And I've recently been preaching a series in our church on this subject. Mm-hmm. I call it Connected Living, and how to really strengthen our connection with God and become intimate with God, and that is through the process of becoming a disciple. And I talked about three different things. I talked about the purpose of discipleship, the potential of discipleship, and the price of discipleship. And it's very vital that we as Christians understand that there's a purpose for us becoming disciples, and that is that we could become change agents in our world.
Praise God.
You know, God, when Jesus called those guys, he called them not just to believe in him, but he called them to become disciples, to learn his ways and how he lived and what his purpose was on planet Earth, so that would become their purpose as well.
Praise God. Yes.
And those early disciples did it because Acts chapter 17, verse 6 says that they which have turned the world upside down have come here also. They became change agents in the world. That's the purpose of discipleship.
Uh-huh. Hey, this is going to be an exciting topic to talk about today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
It is
I'm back with Dr. John Polis, and we're talking about from a believer to a disciple.
Yes, Tim. We see right away in the Bible that Jesus' plan for his followers was not just to be believers only, but to be disciples. And what does that really mean? And what's the purpose of discipleship? As I mentioned earlier, it is to become change agents in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Those disciples turned the world upside down. In fact, the world was already upside down because it wasn't God-centered. It was man-centered. And what those early disciples did was they turned the world upside down because they made society God-centered again.
Okay.
Life revolved around Almighty God, our Creator. Before the disciples were turned loose on this world, filled with the Holy Spirit and trained in all the ways of Jesus, the world was upside down. Man was at the center, mm-hmm. and it was a mess. And so what is our role as disciples of Jesus today but to put God back at the center of society again?
Yeah.
And you can't do that if you're not a disciple.
That's exactly right.
You might be a believer, but you may not be a change agent in the world just because you're a believer. But when you become a disciple, you become a change agent in the world.
Amen. Of course, a believer, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes mm-hmm. in him can have everlasting life, right?
Absolutely. And right, anybody, whosoever will, let him call on the name of the Lord to be saved.
Yeah.
But we know that that's just a starting point. In fact, in my message on this subject, I talked about the purpose of discipleship, which I already mentioned, which is to become change agents in the world. But I also talked about the potential of discipleship. And this is what really grabs me, is most believers haven't really tapped in their potential, which they'll never tap into until they become a disciple. It's all just latent potency within their life that they haven't really experienced yet. And so right away, we find the five areas of potential of a disciple. Things that are not promised to believers, but are only promised to disciples. And first, it begins with freedom. Jesus didn't promise freedom to believers. He promised freedom to disciples. Because
right.
In John chapter 8, and verse 30, the Bible said he turned to them who believed. So there's your believers. And he said, okay, you that are now believers, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So who is freedom promised to, the believer or the disciple? The disciple, obviously. And the result of continuing in God's word, that means to be continual obedient.
Yes.
Because those first believers, how did they become believers? They believed, they obeyed what they heard. Jesus came preaching, repent and believe.
That's right.
So they obeyed what they heard.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, he was saying, if you continue to obey everything you hear, then you're my disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know the truth. It'll become experiential reality in your life. And the truth cannot be bound. So if you're walking in truth, you're going to be free too.
Yeah. So there's folks that may sit in a pew and warm a pew for several years and not be a real disciple.
No, exactly, because they never became obedient to the things they've heard.
That's right.
Well, James said, don't be just a hearer, but a doer. In other words, obey the teachings. In fact, when Jesus said in Matthew 28, he gave the Great Commission, he said, go teach them to obey all the things that I've taught you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can't have a Christian disciple without obedience to the teachings. And what's the purpose of learning if we're never going to do it?
That's exactly right. You know, I was thinking about something, and Pastor Sharon and I were just discussing recently. How do people get a revelation of what a true disciple is all about? A lot of times when we're studying, we're seeking God in prayer for a message like for Sunday morning. We'll get that revelation of what God is speaking to us, but how do we convey the same revelation to the person that they can become a disciple with that certain subject?
You know, I think, Tim, the answer to that question is found in relationship, because Christianity is a lifestyle religion that is learned through association with others who are living it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it was all just about preaching,
mm-hmm.
then we would have had everybody disciples by now, because we've done so much preaching.
That's what I'm looking for.
And teaching.
Yeah.
But what did Jesus do with those 12 men? He called them that they might be with him. He called them into relationship where they could observe his lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So it takes a disciple to make a disciple. That's the way that we're going to get disciples. For those who are discipled by those that are disciples, who continue to disciple others through relationship, we walk together through this life.
That's right.
We role model the truth of God's word.
Yeah, and what I like about this modernistic time that we're living in, the move of God in the river that's flowing right now, it's about family relations. Acts 4 and verse 13 said that Peter and John were ignorant and unlearned men there. It talks about that. And it says that the people had taken knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's how you become a disciple. You spend time with the master.
Absolutely. You spend time with Jesus and with people that have spent time with Jesus. Right?
That's right.
And so we have to remember that Jesus was here as a man. So that when it says they took note of these ignorant, unlearned fishermen, how that they'd been with him, they were with him in his human form.
That's right.
And that's where we're going to find God. We find God through the Spirit personally, obviously. God is a spirit. But God has indwelt humans who have come to know him intimately as Jesus did.
Yeah.
And he was able to reveal those attributes and character of God through his daily life. You know, when Jesus said, "I'm the way," he didn't say, "Let me show you the way." He said, "I am the way. Watch me if you want to see how to do this thing. You know, I am the way I live, you know, what I say."
That's right.
"Who I am the way." And so Peter said it like this: we become living epistles.
Praise God.
Known and read of all men.
Yes.
This is how we make disciples. And so the problem that today that we want to see solved in the church world is the fact that we do not have the quality of Christian who can change the world.
Okay.
Because the majority of Christians are believers only.
Yes.
And
yes.
have never become true disciples.
Yes.
Following obediently the teachings of Christ until they live it out in their daily life in the world. It takes a strong person to become a change agent. In fact, one of the things I was thinking about recently as we just talk here was Isaiah 14, verse 12, talking about Lucifer.
Yes.
"How didst thou weaken the nations?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I look at our nation and how it has become weakened as it is now. We're weaker as a nation than we've ever been, morally, financially, militarily, in every way. How does Satan get that done? As I thought about that, I believe Holy Spirit showed me that you take God out of the public eye. You take God out of a view, and that's what has happened systematically.
Yes.
God is taken out of public schools, his name not mentioned, Jesus, you know, God. We took God out of public view. When that happens, society no longer is revolving around God at the center. Consequently, church now becomes no longer that important. Because when God is at the center, church is at the center of our life. You remember years ago, growing up as Christians, as we did in our younger days, we were in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and for revival services and prayer meetings.
Yeah.
What was the result of that? We had stronger Christians. That's what made me and you the Christians we are today.
Yes, we're word people. Strong word people.
Yeah. We planned our life and our activities around the church. If we decided where we're going to go on vacation, let's check and see. Is there any revival going on? I want to miss nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we're going to do this, that, and the other, or kids are in sporting events or whatever, all that revolved around the schedule of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Because God was in public view. He was in the center of society. Result of that was our lives revolved around a church. We had stronger Christians, and we had a stronger nation.
Yeah.
Now, look at our society. With God out of view, we schedule all kind of events, family entertainment, sports, you name it, whatever, work on what should be church times. So now we can barely get people to church on Sunday morning because their lives are consumed. Their life does not revolve around a church because it doesn't revolve around God. They're not the strong Christians that we need in this world. You can't become a strong Christian, like somebody said, by a snack by a preacherette for a Christianette on Sunday morning. you got to have more. We need more church. We need more, not just busyness, but we need more times in the Word and in God's presence together, seeking God, growing and learning, to have the disciples that can change the world again. And Satan has weakened our nation by weakening the Christian.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's who changed the world to start with, was the Christian.
That's exactly right. Hey, stay tuned. We'll be right back, and we're going to be praying.
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless love and beauty, endless worth. Nothing in this world will satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me. Treasure of my heart and of my soul. In my weakness, you are merciful. Redeemer of my past and present wrongs, and holder of my future days to come.
Dr. John, there are so many people out there that have been listening to this teaching today in the tri-state area, also via the internet around the world at he'salive.net. And we've been talking about from a believer to a disciple, just being a believer and receiving with meekness the engrafted word of God. Of course, in John 3:16, we talked about that. And then we moved over and Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one toward another." And of course, that love is a love that continues to give. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. And for God so loved the world that he gave. If we ever really come to the place where we're controlled by love, we will be giving individuals. Mm. Love cannot be focused on itself.
Mm-hmm.
Love is always focused on others. So therefore, love makes you that giving person.
Yeah. How do the folks out there right now that are listening, they said, "I've been listening, and I don't know if I'm a true disciple or not." What would you say?
I would say, are you obeying the things that you've heard? What are you doing with what you've been taught and what you've learned?
Praise God.
If you're obeying it, you're on the path of discipleship.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray.
Father, we thank you for the listeners today. We pray for those that are believers in Jesus, first of all, that they would feel compelled now to answer the call to become disciples, those people that are continually obedient to the teachings of Jesus. And Lord, we pray for those who may not be believers yet. We ask you, Holy Spirit, open their heart and pray the prayer right now. Just say, "Father, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner. I want to turn from my sins. I want a new life. Jesus, come into my heart and give me that new life. I take you as my Lord and Savior right now. Amen."
Praise God. If you prayed that prayer of faith with Dr. John to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, phone us up during regular business office hours from Monday through Friday. And, of course, the hours are 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tell somebody on the other end of the line that you got saved. Because the Bible says in Romans 10:10, "For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation."
Right. And Jesus said, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven." We need to make a public acknowledgement of Jesus Christ in our life.
Praise God. And, of course, that number to dial, 301-895-3292. Somebody is standing by to take your call. God bless you, Dr. John. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me, Tim.
Thank you for tuning in to Connected. Remember, the views expressed on this program may not necessarily reflect the views of our staff or the hosts of this program. Connect with us at he'salive.net or at He's Alive, P.O. Box 540, Grantsville, Maryland 21536.